Found in the fourth chapter of the book of St. Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, he ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, oh, he was famished. So the devil said to him, "Hey, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Well, then the devil led him up and in an instant showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "To you I give their authority and their glory, for it has been given over to me, and I may give it to anyone I please. If you will then worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship only the Lord your God and serve only him." Well, then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written that he will command his angels concerning you to protect you and to hold you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Well, Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not tempt the Lord your God." Now, when the devil, when he had finished every test, he departed from him until a more opportune time. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Marge. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As you just heard from Marge in our Gospel from Luke today, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. We have likely all been in the wilderness. Our wilderness may look like Alzheimer's slowly taking away someone we love. It may sound like the endless ringing of a telephone that isn't answered. The wilderness may glare at us like a big red F on a paper, or smell like a stack of empty liquor bottles and takeout boxes. For those in Beauregard, Alabama, on Sunday, wilderness looks like massive trees yanked up by the roots or sheared off a few feet above the ground. It looks like manufactured homes rolling across fields, brick homes now in unrecognizable heaps. It looks like family and friends digging through rubble, looking for signs of life and remains. We do everything in our power to avoid the wilderness, but in the end, we can't always avoid it. Jesus couldn't either. Wilderness is part of life, but it can be a really hard message to hear and a really, really hard thing to live through. Take Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, he's baptized, and then almost immediately, he's in the wilderness. We don't know from the text, but I can't help but wonder if that's what Jesus expected after he was baptized. After we're baptized into a life of Christ, we might think that we're out of the wilderness. That if we worship regularly and tithe to church, if we feed the poor and care for the sick, if we do all the things Jesus calls us to do, we won't ever be in the wilderness. If we have enough faith in God, then won't God bless us with security and prosperity, keeping us out of the wilderness? We sure do wish it worked this way, but it doesn't. Sooner or later, sometimes even more than once in our lives, we will be in the wilderness. We might even be on a first name basis with Satan. So what do we do? First, it always helps me to know that I'm not alone. Even Jesus spent time in the wilderness. Even Jesus wasn't exempt from testing and temptation, from dealing with Satan, who for some of us sits right on our shoulder. For Jesus, the wilderness was a place where he fully realized the kind of Messiah he was going to be. The devil did his best to distract Jesus, tempting Jesus to be a Messiah who could pursue quick fixes and an easier path instead of the Messiah God had called him to be. Instead of feeding himself by turning stones into bread, Jesus would turn hearts of stone into hearts of sharing and love. We might find out who God called us to be in the wilderness too. Second, it's important to know that Jesus was not alone in the wilderness. The time in the wilderness for Jesus was a necessary time for him. It was a place where he depended entirely on the Holy Spirit to lead him and guide him. There was no one else. There was nothing else. In our wilderness, we are frequently stripped bare too, emptied, both emotionally and physically, cut down to our core. Everything that we may have depended on in the past is now gone. It may feel like we're in a deep, dark tunnel without a light at the end. Or else the light at the end is that train coming straight at us. I can't get the pictures of the tornado devastation out of my mind this week. For some of the families, there is nothing left. Their neighborhoods are gone. Their schools are gone. Their homes are gone. All of their possessions are gone. For some, even their families are gone. They're now in a place so barren and so empty that it can't feel for them any less than being in a wilderness. Satan may even be wandering around, tempting them, testing them, trying to pull them away from the God who has promised to be with them. If we learn anything from Jesus' time in the wilderness, it's that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never, ever left him, but gave him the strength to hold firm and to hold fast to who he was. Who we are, children of God. When all else is gone, the Holy Spirit is there. Third, just like we read about Jesus' experience in the wilderness, we are to share our wilderness experience with each other. Amazing people have gone before us. Amazing people, just like you and just like me. People who have sat in these pews, in these chairs for years. People who have struggled with their own wilderness, fought with Satan, been hungry and tempted and emptied. They've also been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they have never, ever been left alone in the wilderness. What's tragic, though, is we don't often tell the story of our wilderness, allowing others to gain strength from our wilderness experiences. Too often we sweep the wilderness stories under the rug, We're afraid to share, too private to share, or have no one to share with. When we don't share our stories of hope, our stories of salvation in the wilderness get swept under the rug too. Please share your wilderness experience with someone that you trust and that you love. Share where the Holy Spirit was in that wilderness. Share the life that you have found after that wilderness, and there is life. And also listen and learn from the experiences of others who have been in the wilderness. Tell them where God is. Now, for some of us today, our life may not include tornado destruction, life-threatening health issues, or a broken family. We might actually be at a stable point in our lives today. Thanks be to God for that. For us, then, Lent is a time to intentionally enter into the wilderness. It's 40 days for God to use to refine us and perfect us for what God has called us to do in this life. To be fully present in our own wilderness, though, we need to take a breath. We need to step away from the things that help us avoid the wilderness. It's 40 days when we are called to set aside the distractions of our lives, be they donuts or Netflix binging, negative news feeds or Facebook, whatever it is, step aside to spend time with God, listening for who God is really calling us to be. Finally, Lent is a time for us to be with others who are now in the wilderness. The Auburn football coach this past week and 30 players delivered supplies to help the tornado victims. Two more collection drives are planned. The Porch Band of Creek Indians donated $184,000 to assist with the burial of the 23 victims from the tornado. Lutheran Disaster Relief began immediately collecting funds and mobilizing repair crews. Google Lutheran Disaster Relief to find out how you too can help. God doesn't promise us a life free from the wilderness. God promises to be with us in the wilderness. Never, ever alone. Amen.